No matter how many times we say the term coronavirus, it can still be a difficult concept to wrap our minds around. The regular workings of the world are very different at the moment as we keep our distance from one another in the hope of slowing the spread of the disease, for which there's no vaccine and no cure. And we watch the numbers. The total is getting close to 1.4 million cases past and present, with the majority, more than 300,000, in the United States. Our country's been adding upwards of 30,000 cases a day for a few days now. For some local perspective, we have a standing invitation to local medical directors to join us to answer questions about the virus and its spread. And on this Tuesday morning, Dr. Jim Shames, Jackson County's medical director, joins us once again. Jim, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. Glad to be here.
Wendy Warren is with us this time as well, Klamath County's medical director. Dr. Warren, welcome to you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Let's talk numbers first. Wendy Warren, 21 cases as of yesterday in Klamath County. I don't know if you have a report updated as of this morning, but give us a sense of how things have been going there.
Well, we have 21 cases. We've seen more cases coming in. It used to be one to two a day or none, and the last few days we've had three. Our biggest day was when we went from 12 to 18 in 24 hours. We will be starting increased testing in Klamath Falls today, so we may see a bigger jump.
I noticed the increased testing. That's available at, through Sky Lakes Medical Center. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Tell us a bit about who it's available to and who can get tested.
It's available to anyone in the community. The results will be sent to the person's primary care physician. If they don't have a primary care physician, the results are sent to Cascades East, where they will be reviewed by one of the physicians there, and they will get a follow-up phone call either from one of our nurses or from one of our physicians.
Is there a set of benchmarks people have to hit, Dr. Warren, to be eligible for a test?
No, we're asking that people feel they're symptomatic but or have an exposure, but there is not a set of benchmarks. No one will be turned away, is my understanding.
Okay, but symptomatic or exposed to somebody who is known to have COVID-19, those are the general realms of what you're looking for?
Yes.
Okay. Let's come back to Jackson County. Jim Shames, 39 cases as of last report, as of yesterday. We've had a couple of jumps of late, it seems like. So is the pace picking up?
You know, you always have to remember that what you see is a reflection of testing that occurred earlier. I think as that gap between the testing being done and the testing coming back narrows, I think we'll be looking at something a little more closer to real time. But I think what we see now reflects testing that was done last week or 4 or 5 days ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and what's the story with testing in Jackson County at the moment?
We're, you know, as you probably know, Jackson County has done more testing per capita than most any place, and we're still trying to figure that out. I think the most likely explanation is that we set up, you know, really an excellent system of triage and testing pretty early. And when I say we, I mean, you know, the hospital systems and our federally qualified health centers. And I think we moved a lot of people through. We are recommending that everybody adhere to the Oregon Health Authority guidelines for testing. I can't guarantee that everybody's doing that exactly, but we're testing and we're getting results and we're acting in a public health coordinated fashion as a result.
Yeah, I noticed the number of news organizations, ours included, that picked up on the fact that Jackson County, I guess, is third in the state in testing. And even ahead of Multnomah County in that, which is Portland. And I just interesting read the articles and capture the amount of surprise from you, Jim, and that you didn't really know. It's kind of the thing you're not in a competition here, I guess.
I'm still a little mystified by it. We have our epidemiologist kind of looking into the data to see what we can extract from it, but we didn't have any secret access to get beyond the pinch points that everybody else had. I mean, we still had issues with testing material and testing equipment. I honestly think that foresight by some of our key healthcare partners and really good coordination and collaboration is largely responsible, or I'd like to believe that anyway.
We're talking about coronavirus in our region. Two public health directors with us here, Jim Shames from Jackson County, Wendy Warren from Klamath County. You can join the conversation on The Exchange. Questions, comments, welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Dr. Warren, how critical are these few weeks with the lockdown firmly in place and numbers still rising?
Well, I think it's very critical. I think that if people don't socially distance, if they continue to go out in groups, we had some people that were seen playing basketball on a basketball court in town outside. That's probably one of the most dangerous things you can do in terms of transmission. The social distancing is just really important to get this under control right now. Otherwise, we're going to see more cases and more cases that are serious.
Was there any move made like removing the basketball hoop as New York City has been talking about?
They have not done that in Klamath County at this point.
It does seem like basketball or any physical activity where you got people sweating and spitting and bumping into each other is probably the worst case scenario for exposure.
Yes, it is. And I mean, we do have the gates of our parks closed. People can walk in, but no congregate parking. We discourage use of playground, communal-type playground equipment for the children because, once again, that's how the virus spreads. So trying to make the community aware, educate the community. And it seems, I notice differences every week. The first week I went to the grocery store, there were a lot of people out still. Last week there were fewer. This week there are more people with masks and still fewer people, and people being much more aware of not being near other people.
I'm glad you brought up masks. That has become the additive this week. And so what is the recommendation on the table, Dr. Warren?
Well, in our hospital here, we have everyone, the employees, the patients, the visitors, the few that are let in, and are wearing masks. And it's recommended certainly that anyone over the age of 60 who is going out wear a mask in public. But I think the more people that wear them, the better.
And Jim Shames, you were evolving, you said, when we talked last week about masks. Are you firmly on the mask wagon now?
Yeah, I'm pretty firmly on the mask wagon. I just think that the public needs to keep the medical grade PPE equipment for the medical personnel, at least at this point in time. So the masks that I would recommend are, you know, cloth masks that are either devised or made to, you know, I think that'll provide some additional support for folks as long as they don't over-rely on masks and avoid the basics like, you know, social distancing and hand washing and those sorts of things. But yeah, I think masks are a good idea.
No, that's a good point, though. So don't let the mask get you overconfident. Like it's like wearing a motorcycle helmet on a bicycle or something. It's not like that.
Right. It's an additional piece of protection.
Are you impressed at the ways in which people seem to be responding to the call for a mask? I mean, the Sunday Oregonian even printed a pattern right in the paper that people could use.
I think the other piece about masks that we shouldn't overlook is that people feel powerless at a time like this. And when folks can mobilize and talk to each other and share patterns and make masks and know that they're getting distributed, I think that's helpful philosophically, you know, for a community to feel like it's participating. So I don't think we should minimize that either.
All right. Some questions here from listeners. Linda in Medford writes, if you have contact with a person who develops COVID-19 several days after your contact and you have no symptoms yourself, how long should you self-isolate? Let me put that to Dr. Warren.
That would depend on how much contact you had. You should monitor for symptoms and self-isolate if you've had extended contact for 14 days.
All right, so extended contact, so 14 days, and if nothing develops in the 14 days, can you then assume that that it's more or less safe to at least not stay completely apart from people?
Yes, you can. The other thing is that if it's limited contact, like you walked by someone mm-hmm. or you said hello for 1 to 2 minutes and you left, then at that point you probably didn't have enough contact, but monitoring for symptoms but not self-isolating would be appropriate.
Okay. Are there cases of COVID-19, are we aware of, where people just don't show any symptoms? They test positive, but they're just not showing anything?
Yes, there is asymptomatic passage, and I think that's one of the reasons that it keeps spreading, is that you don't realize you have it and you give it to someone else, which is why the social distancing is so important.
Okay, let's get a phone call in here. Anne in Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Dr. Wendy Warren and Dr. Jim Shames, the medical directors of Klamath and Jackson Counties.
Thank you. So it's been all on the media 24 hours a day for the last month about the coronavirus. And yet I have not once heard the real cause of this, which is overpopulation. And we have a choice here. We can either limit births and stem the overpopulation, or pandemics and wars will take care of the overpopulation for us. So anyway, that's my comment. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for that, Anne. Appreciate that. Anne and Eugene on the Jefferson Exchange. Either one of you, Dr. Shames, Dr. Warren, want to comment on that? Pinhead poll?
Humans tend to congregate in large numbers in cities, and they really have for a very long time, and I don't think that's going to go away. So even if we reduce the population significantly, we'd still have phenomena like what's happening in New York, which is people in close quarters, passing the disease easily from person to person. So I have no objection to the premise, which is that we have an awful lot of people on this planet, and that makes it difficult for us. But even if we had fewer, I think we'd still be facing issues like we are now.
I don't know how much time either of you get to look at things outside of your own counties, but as I look at the worldwide charts of total cases, total deaths, they are still hockey sticks. They just go straight upward, and I just wonder if you tend to look at those things and hope to see some sort of changing of that curve over the days. Dr. Wendy Warren?
Well, that is my bedtime reading. Before I go to bed every night, I look at all the statistics. I look at the CDC website. I look at the World Health Organization website. And it's just to see where things may be leveling off and what the trajectory is on other countries that were ahead of us or behind us on this. And so the hope is that it will level off and that we'll start seeing that go down. You can see it if you look at the statistics coming out of China and South Korea, that there are very few new cases and very few new deaths compared to what there were previously. So, yes, and even out of New York City, they had a leveling for the last couple of days. It's still very high, but maybe that's a turnaround. It will take some time to know.
Yeah, I noticed that the governor of New York was hesitant to say anything more than, well, maybe it's a blip, but at least the growth has slowed somewhat. But yeah, you're right about the difference between us and China, for example. China, 39 new cases yesterday. We had, across the country, 30,000-plus cases. That's a lot.
Yes.
I want to move on to another subject area here, because this is something we actually wanted to talk about last week and didn't get to. But Susan, no town given, asks about food handling. A couple of questions here, but hers is it safe to get food from a grocery store deli if the servers are not masked and gloved? Jim Shames?
It's like Wendy said earlier, there's so many variables. You have to really know more detail. Inanimate objects are not, nowhere near as important a vector of disease transmission as droplets that come out of one person's mouth and land on another person's mucous membrane. So I think we certainly need to be cautious about what we touch, and then touching our mouths and mucous membranes. But I think you could probably do this, and I think many places are doing it, by maintaining appropriate distancing. And if you're careful about how you set up your supermarket, I think people can be safe. So I defer to Wendy, who's probably been shopping earlier, more recently than I have.
Mm-hmm. Wendy, any thoughts on food handling and what to watch for?
I think that, you know, what we're doing, I teach at a residency program also, training program for family doctors. And, I mean, we have any food that we're eating now is actually individually wrapped, but it certainly was prepared by a food handler, and we don't have concerns about that.
All right. Anything additional for things like getting it from a restaurant for takeout delivery, if you're trying to be nice and keep your restaurant afloat? I mean, anything to watch for there in the handling? It seems like I noticed that it seems like a week into the lockdown, I was seeing national ads for pizza places about how your pizza arrives at your door never being touched.
Yeah. I do not think that there is a huge concern for that anyone has noted at this point, unless Jim knows something else.
No, I agree. I think we sometimes take our eye off the ball, which is literally the example that Wendy talked about with, you know, kids playing basketball together. Or when I think, Wendy, I bet you see the same thing I do. When you look into the cases and who are the positives in your community, you know, you sort of hit yourself on the forehead and go, what were they thinking? Mm-hmm. You know, what? so it's the kind of... you know, it's the kind of obvious contacts that are spreading the disease that seem to be responsible for most of the cases we're seeing. And we know how to deal with that. Social distancing will take care of that. So I think it's important to pay attention to, you know, to how your food and where your package comes from and how you take things off the shelf. But I think the other public health measures are more important.
Okay, it sounds like you're not even recommending a particularly elaborate, you know, decontamination procedure. For example, I take off the clothes that I wear at work, you know, not far into the house. So I wear different clothes at home. It sounds like I might be, I'm being cautious, but not overly so.
I don't think that's overly cautious. I think that's appropriate. I do the same thing when I come into the house. Sometimes even before I change at work, but I work with a different population.
Mm-hmm.
I think that changing your clothes when you go in the house, washing your hands, is very important.
We had a call here. I didn't stay on the line, but Grumpy John in Grants Pass asked about wants to know what's curbing widespread drive-up testing. Are there any particular obstacles to testing at this point? I mean, if people do want tests, I mean, it sounds like you still have this basic criteria of either symptomatic or exposed to someone known to have it. But beyond that, I mean, if anybody wants to get a test, is the availability there, Jim Shames?
You know, I don't think we're quite there yet in our community. And unfortunately, without, you know, a truly coordinated effort, some communities are going to, you know, have supplies that others don't. And from a public health perspective, you don't want to sit on that. We really need testing. At this point in Jackson County, we're not opening up testing to anyone who might want it, although I'm sure that happens some because providers can order tests if they think it's appropriate. You know, enough supplies, enough testing equipment, enough PPEs to do the tests, those are still somewhat limiting factors for us.
Let's see, there's another email here from Pam in Ashland who says, please ban open burning. There's a lot of smoke in the valley. Lane County banned all open burning as of Sunday night because the smoke is a respiratory irritant setting people up for coronavirus. Any linkage with smoke and coronavirus that would warrant some changes in Jackson County, Jim Shames?
I think people who have lung irritation and get coronavirus are probably at increased risk. I don't think it increased your risk of getting coronavirus. I don't know where we're at. You know, my eye's been a little off that ball for a while, but mm-hmm. where we're at in terms of particulate matter in the air. But, you know, we have criteria for stopping burning when it gets to be a public health hazard.
Okay, another question here, an email from Johnny in Tequilma. Do you have any info on the effects of freezing on the virus? Does it kill it or hasten its death, or does it put it into stasis so it lasts longer? Johnny also would like to see lamps to shine UV light all over rooms to get the nooks and crannies sterilized. So freezing and UV light effects on the virus. Dr. Warren, can you come in here?
I I don't know about freezing. UV light has been shown to kill the virus. There's are some testing going on in terms of being able to reuse N95 masks after they have had UV light applied, but I don't know about freezing.
Okay. And people need to be careful, I understand, with the UV lights, because you can basically give yourself a sunburn if you're not using it properly, right?
Yes, you can.
So do you guys have any sense for what the end of lockdown looks like, the point at which you might begin to think that it was time? I mean, is there a particular trend in numbers you would need to see, Jim Shames, to say, you know what, we're probably 2 weeks away from basketball now?
Well, the curve is flattening. Mm-hmm. It appears to be flattening. And what that means is that you can project out and look to the future and see that there'll be fewer and fewer cases. How you then relax things is a science that's evolving. I can tell you what I've read, because clearly, none of us are experts on this. If we could do extensive testing, see where the hot spots are, and start, aggressively isolating people who are positive or probably positive, if we could do antibody testing and identify the people who have already had the disease, it would be a lot easier to start letting some people go back out into the community and cautiously observing what's happening and be nimble to make adjustments as needed. So I think that's coming, but it's months away, I suspect.
Okay, we will see what happens. It's a while yet for this to all unfold. Jackson County, 39 cases as of yesterday, with 6 ever hospitalized. Klamath County, 21 cases as of yesterday, 3 ever hospitalized. Dr. Wendy Warren is Klamath County's Chief Medical Officer. Dr. Jim Shames, Jackson County's Chief Medical Officer. Thank you both for joining us today and answering so many questions.
Thank you, Jeff.
Good to
Thank
have you,
you
here. Oh, you bet.